This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Welcome to my festival, G-Cella. I know someone in the comments is going to immediately say a better play on words for Coachella and my name than G-Cella. But hey, it's kind of funny. People thought it was funny when I suggested it on my Discord. So here we are. Hello, 36 volumes. What is the purpose of this episode? As you know, this podcast is about me developing a bit of a thesis around music and talking around that. Is this a thesis? I'm going to position it like this. This is a podcast in reaction to Coachella recently and wanting to break down, in my opinion, I've been around music programmers. I've worked with many music programmers, actually. Just saying being around is not accurate enough. I've worked with a lot of them. And rather than being a thesis, this is a bit of a unpacking of the different strategic markers that a music programmer must hit for a festival, right? In order to appeal to the largest source of people. And then I'm going to suggest my thoughts and predictions for Coachella 2024 based on that criteria. It's all fun and games. At the end of the day, I'm not trying to say these are, the headline is my predictions for Coachella 2024. This is more about like festival programming and what criteria you need to hit in order to make a well-rounded festival, you know? But then I thought it's only more fun to then break it down into artists and predictions so that we can have some meat on the bone. And I've spent quite a bit of time on this. So hopefully you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Derek G. If you don't know anything about me, you've just come across this podcast. Do I even introduce myself usually? I don't think so. I make content. I'm a DJ. I'm a radio host. I am a person that thinks a lot about music. And hopefully, thank you for all the feedback. Thank you for all the ratings. Thank you for all the comments. You've been enjoying it, whether on YouTube, whether on podcast apps, etc. So hopefully you enjoy this. Hopefully you can play along and try to guess my picks with me. And the first thing I'm going to do before I go over the different categories which one must program artists around, I'm going to go over a few criteria. This is like almost like absolves me of any too much judgment. Number one, the artists that I picked, I tried to pick artists that are a good mix for everyone, not just you or me. So I'm not just going like, if it was just me, I'd be all like minimal piano and acts that are not in the Billboard charts. Not going for that. I'm choosing festival-friendly acts. I think that is something that a program must think about. Obviously, you're not going to choose people that are doing stuff that's way too quiet, that doesn't have that kind of appeal or status or just gravitas, you know? I've thought about balancing who has played before at Coachella and when. And if they played in 2022, they're not going to be coming back this next year, you know? But if they played in 2017, but they're a lot bigger, I think they're definitely allowed, you know? I've also thought about an American audience-centric programming. That's not to say it's just full of Kacey Musgraves and Kid Rock or anything like that. No offense to American audiences, but I mean like too European-centric, too DJ-centric, as in like just the Peggy Goos of the world, etc., I think is not the right angle for a Coachella, and they wouldn't think that either. You know, America's a big hip-hop country. It's a big, like, has a storied reputation of a lot of historic acts that they'd want to book before having, like, the most headsy DJ there or something like that. Also, I'm not trying to be too obscure with my taste. I'm not trying to, like, Like, I think that I could list 100 names that a lot of you, not you, but like maybe the mainstream audience might not have heard of. And then I'll just be like, look at this. This is like a suggestion for a festival. And people will be like, I've never heard of these. And it's like, well, that's not really the point, is it, to do something that's just like tastemakery? I also don't know everyone in the world of music as much as I know a lot of things. So if you said to me, Derek, why didn't you have this artist? It's so obvious. And I can only be in so many worlds in music. So I think that, forgive me if I've forgotten someone massive. And last but not least, I'm not going to be programming by stage, Gobi stage, whatever, because there's too many stages and that would be mad. Okay? Those are my disclaimers. So to set this up, when you are a music programmer, when you are a festival, you have to think about how you can sell tickets, how you can make headlines, how quickly can you sell tickets, how can you make this an event that's culturally relevant, how could you appeal to young audiences, old audiences, how can you appeal to a multitude of genres. I think that with Coachella this year, there's everyone from Björk to Rosalía to Pierre Bourne to Yves Tumor. So it definitely hits, like, if you are someone like me, you know, you've got a lot of options, but then you also have Fisher and you have big electronic acts that I would never be interested in, like what's his name, did Calvin Harris do this year? I think so. Not my thing. So it's like, well, that's also there for someone else to take, so, or to view. So they have to think about all these markers and drivers, because some festivals are music specific festivals. And whether it's jazz or rock or hip hop, like Rolling Loud or Blues Fest or things like that, San Francisco Jazz Festival. This is different. This will always be different. This is very much a combination, Coachella, of iconic acts in history, relevant, up and coming tastemaker, but in the mainstream space. And then also more like established American acts that people can get behind. So I am going to go through my categories that they might use to program Coachella, G-Cella, and what would be artists they might be considering for next year. Got it? Have I fumbled my way through this explanation? I don't think so. Basically, I'm programming next year based on these markers. And I've separated them into categories. How about I tell you the chapters, right, of these categories? And this is how I'm going to read them out in order. That, yeah, right, there is a standing offer. Artist. They had a big album in 2023. Artist. The classic slash legacy artist, that one vintage headline artist, which is different from legacy, the drop everything, no way, they are playing Coachella artist, the graduate, they were big, but now they're even bigger since the last time they played. They've graduated, they are alumni in a sense, and they are coming back to go, I'm as big as humanly possible. The surprise comeback. The instant headliner. What does that mean? Well, wherever they are in life right now, they are a headliner. Could be a headliner by this time next year is another one. The kind of, yeah, but is exciting. That's my personal category of like, they. I could see them being on here, but they might not be for next year. It's a given. Is another one. They're going to be there. The credible non-headliners, the curveballs, the foreign contingent, and the mainstream closing DJ. That's a lot. And I'm wondering, I could spend the first half talking about three of them and then realize that I've been speaking for hours. So I'm conscious, maybe I'll speed through some, maybe I won't through others. So lastly, before I get into it, we're at 10 minutes now. Before I get into it, one, who do you think should be added to Gcella/Coachella 2024? Who have I missed? Who are in these categories that you think would be obvious? Secondly, if anyone's crazy enough, could you put in a poster? Someone put in a poster. That'd be great. See how it all shakes out. That is a blind, you know, request that I don't know if anyone's going to do. But I'd love to hear your thoughts first and foremost. All right, let's get going. The first category, the yeah right / there is a standing offer. What does that mean? This would be the category whereby the programmer, probably whoever the founder is, the CEO of Coachella, has spoken to their management agent label, probably for the last 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, and saying like, we would love to have them as a headliner. And they've always said no. So they're like, just so you know, there's a standing offer. If you ever want to play, we will drop everything. Good category. Number one, Sade. Come on. Sade the band, featuring Sade, the artist. Imagine. That would absolutely break the internet if Sade played. And I think that there has to be a standing offer. Sade, I don't know the last time Sade played live. I don't know the last time I've seen Sade play. I don't know if Sade is even interested in playing. So that would be cool. Drake, I think Drake is too big for Coachella. And I think potentially, unless he did something really massive, would, you know, because he's arguably, no, definitely past his prime. So it's not like he's at the peak. He's putting out a lot of music right now. So as in like the last couple of years that haven't been great, like as in like top tier number one. So he's not the most culturally relevant anymore. So if you put Drake on there, is that exciting? He's going on a world tour soon as well. So I think they'd want Drake. Would Drake want it? Maybe he should, if he went dark for a few years, you know, maybe he would make sense. J. Cole. J. Cole, I'm surprised, hasn't done Coachella, or hasn't done it in a long time, I believe. I think it would be another big one, especially if J. Cole went dark for until next year. I think people haven't heard. J. Cole did something with J. Hope recently, so he's not exactly silent, but you kind of want him to go silent for a little bit and then do a bit of a Beyonce, Baychella, this is, you know, the punctuation point in my career type thing. So I feel like that's a standing offer. Here's a good one. The yeah, right. Outkast. Come on. Every year, they'd be like, Andre, Big Boy, anyone, please? No? Okay, fair enough. That one would be another one. Sade, Outkast, come on. One day it's going to happen, something like that, and people are going to lose their minds. It's a big social moment. You've got to think as a program about social media moments, right? Because if you have East Tumor is exciting, are people going to talk about it? Less so. Jay-Z, standing offer. I think Jay-Z's most iconic festival performance will always be Glastonbury, and maybe that was Jay-Z's Baychella, whereby you can't top that. Where, if you don't know, Jay-Z was criticized by Noel from Oasis, Gallagher, saying, what is this rappity rap? You know, this is a rock festival. And then Jay-Z came out with a guitar and played, I can't remember which song, Wonderwall, probably by Oasis, as a bit of a piss take, you know, absolutely making fun, iconic, hilarious, amazing. If he did Coachella, how could you top that? Last one in the year, right, there's a standing offer, is Daft Punk reformation. They've just retired, they've split up, so that's not going to happen next year. It might happen in years to come. It's not going to happen next year. But yeah, on my poster, it would definitely be Sade, Outkast, and Jay-Z, I think. But the offer's there. We all know the offer is there to all these people, right? Please, one day. All right, next category. The big album from last year, as in 2023, which is this year, who might have a big album, an important album that might not be a headliner? None of these people, not everyone in here is going to be a headliner. But I think that in order to jump to that next level on a festival like Coachella, you have a relevant album that popped off this year, that there is a lot of buzz around you. Like say Kylie Uchis dropped her album just before Coachella. I think that the programmers would be very much in with the labels to know, okay, they're dropping something and we will target our energy around this time because that's when they'll be the most culturally relevant. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of jostling, a lot of lobbying to align your release with big cultural moments. This one's a bit out there, but King Krewel is releasing an album this year. And I think people people forget about King Krewel, then he comes back. And if he puts out a really good album, as he does every time, King Krewel could be like not the big, big headline, but like on the second row type thing. Maybe third. Danny Brown is releasing an album. Released Scaring the Hoes with JPEG Mafia. Could be someone that does, like, it is very much acknowledged as a mainstay in alt rap as being like one of the fathers of the alt rap scene. So could come out with I think that people are going to consider Scaring the Hoes as a really great album from this year. Could come out with his other album. Could be a really shining moment to celebrate Danny Brown and his importance to alt rap. Interesting. Let's go with Peggy Goo. That's a curveball because I don't know if she's releasing an album, but I think that she's had three strong singles, Starry Night, Hanjeon, and the other one with the guy from Hyoko, Oh Hyuk. So if she released an album, I think she could go not number one, but tier two in terms of big name that will draw and has done enough festivals for people to want to see her because there's always big crowds for her. She's cool. She's relevant. She's festival. That could be a good play.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Next category is the classics, the legacy acts. Now, I have one coming up called That One Vintage Headliner. That one's fairly obvious, and I think you could guess a lot of those because they have been suggested or recommended or predicted in the past. But this one is like, I want to use like Blink 182 as from this year as a prime example of that, whereby they haven't done a world tour in a long time. They've been out of the game for a long time. People would just want to relive the memories of that time in their lives. And so you're bringing these people back, but you're not digging them from the grave. They're not that dead, but they're around. People know they're around and would love to see them, and adds that kind of vintage credibility, legacy, fun memory to the programming. My number one choice, this is like an award ceremony. My number one choice that I would love to see is Crowded House. I think that there was Miley Cyrus and Ariana Grande covered Don't Dream It's Over. Is that the name of the song? They covered a Crowded House song a year and a half ago and just surprised me that they even sung that song and made me think, oh, people really respect Crowded House probably more than I realize if these two massive artists are covering them. I could see like a sing-along at a festival of all the Crowded House classic hits. So I think that would be an amazing festival act. I think it would be like it's a sunset crowded house at like not the main stage, but like the second biggest one would be, I was going to say a bop. How old am I? That'd be cool. By the way, I'm trying out a different mic. This is a condenser mic. And I think it has more detail in my voice. So let me know if you like the mic, because I think I didn't like the, I prefer this sound, but if maybe you don't. Anyway, Classic Legacy, My Chemical Romance is classic at this point, I would say. Do the Black Parade. Chemical Romance presents the Black Parade. Amazing. I think retro enough that is now like almost in the Blink 182, younger, but not that much younger category. Deftones, still credible. People still love them. I think that would just be, you know, a bit raucous. System of a Down, I think, would absolutely, people would lose their minds. And I think there have been people who have wanted them to play for years. So I think System of a Down is a really, really bold, not crazy, would be successful choice. The Cure, they have a new album on the way. They're touring America. Robert Smith is, you know, came up at the same time as the Smiths and Morrissey. And Robert Smith has won that game because Morrissey is an incel. So I think that The Cure in that Björk space, you know, if we go back to my list, Sade and The Cure as like two big ones. I'm into it. I'd go to my G-Cella. Incubus is fun. When's the last time you saw Incubus play? I remember growing up with Incubus and they were being like, they were kind of cool, kind of corny at the same time. I'd be into Incubus for sure. Basement Jacks would be cool. Groove Armada would be cool. I think Groove Armada is very much in the vein of how the Chemical Brothers did this year, and the Chemical Brothers set was insane. Just like, you know, one of those ones where you forget how many hits they have, and then they play and it's like songs like Galvanize and you're like, oh yeah. And then Star Guitar. Wait, Chemical Brothers? Yes. And you're like, oh yeah, that song too. You know, those types of early 2000s classic acts, you know, late at night for the 30 plus year olds. Excellent. Air, rolling my R's, not rolling my R's, but pronouncing my R's for the American, Air would be cool because they're mysterious. They're like, you know, 20 plus years old at this point. So into it. I should stop saying into it. I chose this fucking thing. So yeah, Mos Def, Yasiin Bey, classic hip hop. I realized I didn't have any classic hip hop in this section. So I think Yasiin Bey, Black Star could be a shout. I think, you know, Yasiin hasn't been in the media so much, so would be cool. Robin, in terms of Europop, I think people would want to see her. Beach House, they're releasing an album this year. The National is releasing an album this year. Both, so, some of these people are going to be on the lineup next year, I guarantee you. The National, probably. Groove Armada, probably. Cause I wouldn't be surprised if The Cure, probably. Fall Out Boy would, it's not for me, but it's, I think, in that kind of Blink 182 space. Iggy Pop is another. Last Hurrah, he's getting old now. Last Hurrah, he's still going, still looking like a catcher's mitt. So Iggy Pop would be amazing too. So that is the list of classic and legacy. The next one, as I alluded to, that one vintage headliner. I think System of a Down could actually be upgraded to here, because I think that they would be in that Björkish status. My submission for number one is NERD, Chad Hugo, Pharrell, and come on, memory, do your thing. I forget his name. And the other guy. I used to be obsessed with NERD. I wanted the cap when they were first out with that first album. I was on forums about them. So yeah, NERD playing Rockstar, playing She Wants to Move, all those sort of things. I'm kind of speechless. I would love that. Can someone please program them? Please pay them millions and millions of dollars for me. Massive Attack, Blast played in 2006. Massive Attack, I don't know. I don't know every conversation about music. I feel like there's less talk about Massive Attack. They haven't released an album in a long time, whereas Björk has. But you can. You can if you booked for Coachella around the same time. Massive Attack, anyone would love to see them, surely. Metallica, I think they were meant to play. No, that's the next one. Metallica, people have been predicting for years and hasn't happened. Metallica, if Metallica played and like a Frank Ocean type person played at the same time, I would be seeing Frank Ocean. More on that later in the appendix. But Metallica would be that one vintage headliner. Rage Against the Machine, a redux, because they were playing in 2020 before COVID happened. So, and then they went on their own tour after that because they were like, screw this, we can make more money. So Rage Against the Machine would definitely be a winner, chicken dinner. And then Stevie Wonder is a curveball. You know, Songs in the Key of Life, play Love's in Need of Love Today. That would be beautiful. Sunset Session is the one you want, I think. The one where everyone's just in a good mood and it's getting into this more serious times. And I think Stevie Wonder would be a surprise. I don't know if it's Coachella friendly. Stevie Wonder is the OG Frank Ocean, guys. Not really, not a sad boy way, but like, you know what I mean? Kind of more atmospheric. Okay, next category. There's a lot of categories. Drop Everything / No Way that they're playing and they're a headliner. I also said / Beychella, which is like Beyonce's playing. Beyonce, like I said around Jay-Z, was like, this is a punctuation point in their career. So Drop Everything, they're playing, we're booking, we're going. The first one feels less likely because she's on a world tour right now. Taylor Swift hasn't done it. Will she do it? Doesn't need to do it. She's bigger than it. Probably wouldn't do it next year. If she's going to do it, she'd probably do it in like the year after or the year after that when everyone settled down from the Eras tour, everyone settled down from Midnights, and she might not have released anything for a while. And you do that whole, this is my Coachella set, and it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen. Might be too close to the Eras tour. Here's a fun one. Young Thug post-prison comeback. Maybe bring Gunna on stage. A bit of a like, this is the first thing they've done since out of prison. I think they're coming out of prison this year, hopefully. And therefore, you know, imagine you don't hear anything. Young Thug is out of prison, just say in June. Nothing. January, boom, headliner, Young Thug. Excellent. Excellent headline. We like to see it. Animal Collective. Wait for Margot to lose her mind over that. Animal Collective would be surprising, shocking, exciting, different, alternative. Because keep in mind, Coachella, I should have said this at the beginning, Coachella used to be more of the alternate and rock festival, not with Young Thug. So this would be very much in keeping with OG Coachella. Next one, Justin Bieber. Man's had a lot of mental issues. Man's had a lot of performance anxiety issues. Would be a moment, would need a lot of rehearsals. Could be become that kind of Frank Ocean polarizing type thing. So I think that if Justin Bieber was playing, he's got enough of a discography that people would be like, I want to hear this song, that song, that song, that song, that song. He could bring out anyone from Travis Scott to Skrillex. So would be a festival closing headliner. Insane. Solange. I just feel doubtful. I feel like Solange is living her best life and doesn't need to do this. And unless she's like the female version of Frank Ocean, does her own thing, released a similar vibe-ish album at the same time, hasn't been as like talked about for the fandom being less annoying. So Solange would be cool. And people would drop everything to see her. I can't see it happening. RM, likely, I would say. Not going into military service just yet. Released an album this year with Erykah Badu. Has been featuring a lot of stuff, including Balming Tiger and Soyeon, I believe. So I feel like they've done Blackpink. I think if you just did another big K-pop group, they would want BTS, but they can't. And they probably missed the opportunity because of the military service. RM, like J-Hope did Lollapalooza, so that's done. So who else? RM just at the top. Ticket sold. Done. Happy. The Jonas Brothers. This is the Drop Everything, remember? The Jonas Brothers, you know, I think they're releasing an album this year. Still a lot of love for them. Very much like, it's like me saying the reuniting of One Direction, similar vibe. That's not happening, so I'm not saying that. But Jonas Brothers, not for me, but for a whole generation of people. So, suggestion. Miley Cyrus, surprisingly, has never performed before. And I think a lot of the pop fandom would lose their minds if Miley Cyrus was at 10 p.m. at the main stage, whatever that one's called. So, likely. Maybe I'll do a likely at the end of this. No, it's too long if I just go through the list again of all the likelies. Here's some obvious that I don't think will happen. Rihanna and Adele. Adele, probably not even right vibe-wise for the festival. Rihanna with child and did Super Bowl. So doing it this next year doesn't really feel like a necessary move. So people would drop everything though, but I think that she's still got a couple years left of the glow of the Super Bowl. So hang tight, Riri, says me. All right. Next category. The Graduate / was a star, now a superstar / will never do it again after this. Good category. Because there's a lot of people that played at Coachella. There's a lot of people that played this year that will become bigger stars. Kali Uchis might be even bigger in a couple of years' time and be like a closer. Who knows? Same with Charlie XCX. Who knows? So in this category, you've probably been waiting for this artist to be mentioned. Tyler, the Creator, performed, I want to say 2019, is a headliner, global headliner now. So definitely... needs their moment to do it. Has just released the deluxe album to Call Me If You Get Lost. I think could do this without dropping anything new. I think would be an excellent, vivid performance because I think he'd design a whole world around it and do something really special. As is the creative director, that is TC. Does anyone call him that? No. Tyler, the Creator. Playboi Carti. You know, is a viral kind of sensation in the sense that like he's so unpredictable. And I think people would want to see it for obviously the mosh, but also just what's going to happen. How crazy can it get? I did think in this category, like Travis Scott, I think is too big for it. I think Travis Scott has Astroworld. The smell on Astroworld is still lingering, I think. So I don't think that Travis Scott people would be like, yeah, at the moment. I think Travis Scott is on a bit as a loud car goes past my apartment. Travis Scott is a bit too on the nose, I would say, to be on this list. SZA, big year this year, number one single, album, doing the tour right now in, you know, large but not like stadium arenas. This could be the SZA, I'm doing a headliner and that is going to solidify me as a stadium artist. So we know SZA struggles with the cycle of being an artist and being on the hamster wheel. So there could be that question, but that would be beautiful. The 1975, I think, have proven themselves to be headliners at this point. They can sell stadiums multiple around the world. And... yeah, I think they've ascended to the next level. So deserved, to be honest. Nicki Minaj is the last one. I think she's almost in like the, not vintage category, but it's like she should have been a headliner by now. And I think if she designed it right, would be a really, really, really great show. I'd like to see it. I haven't said Harry Styles because I think he did it a couple of years ago. Or last year. And yeah, if there's people missing, keep in mind that they might have done it a year ago or this year or whatever. So Harry Styles, sorry, he's already done it. Keep going. Categories, keep going. Maybe I should speed up a little bit. Jeez, I've got so many categories. Okay, I'm going to speed up now. Surprise comeback, reforming. So J-Paul, XL's J-Paul, first performance ever, was an iconic moment. I watched the stream. It was delayed, the stream, but I watched it in the end and it was like, wow, the first time he's ever done it. It sounded amazing. It was a moment in history and culture, I think, that he did something at Coachella. It will be in his Wikipedia page, put it that way, because it's like his first thing. It was special. It meant a lot. People were there to be with him, not just there for him, you know? So, surprise comeback, reforming. Some of these are less crazy than others. It kind of goes more crazy as I go down the list. Timbaland, whilst like he's been around, Timbaland with like Missy Elliott, Nelly Furtado, Justin Timberlake. I'm just getting myself excited. But like Timbaland being like the main person. Maybe that's not a surprise comeback. Maybe it's just a good idea. Maybe it's just a good idea. Come on. Come on, Coachella. Ween. Bit random for... but it's kind of alt and we haven't seen Ween as like a Ween's back. That'd be cool. Sia could be a headliner. She doesn't do much stuff. Sia doing a big, big show with her big, big hair and making it really theatrical. She could fill that Björk slot for sure. That sounds rude. She's not Björk, but she's a pop icon and would be a great sight. Dean Blunt. Now we're getting weirder. Dean Blunt would be amazing. Wouldn't do it. Would be. It's one of those ones where you scan the lists. And if we did a Derek Reacts to the Coachella lineup for 2024 and Dean Blunt was on there, I would be like falling out of my chair. Great. Burial. Same. Very J-Paul. Who is it? Maybe we'll never know. Maybe Burial will play, but inside a box. That'd be cool. Could we pay him $1 million to get it done? Dean, as in the K-pop star Dean, has disappeared off the face of the earth for a long time. Would, you know, like I said, they've done Blackpink. So where could you go from here? They did DPR Live and Ian this year. So Dean is bigger than that, except more enigmatic. Finally, last but not least, and the best idea so far, Zayn. So what happens is Zayn is on there. People lose their minds. Zayn from One Direction, by the way. And then they are... he drops a album immediately after or just before, and it's as good as Harry Styles stuff, and people absolutely lose their minds and buy tickets without thinking. Instant headliner / I'm at my peak now. This is like, yep, you're the big name at the top. Paramore. Not that I've listened to it, but huge album from this year. Lana Del Rey released an album this year. Ariana or Dua Lipa. Why did I say or? They're separate, but they're on the same line. Instant headliner, Lil Uzi, instant headliner. Here's the little interruption where I'm recording this next to my wardrobe so that it doesn't sound too bad. I recorded this on the Friday before the weekend, for the weekend too, and Frank hadn't pulled out yet. And Fred again, Skrillex and Fortet hadn't been announced as the bonus for the Sunday night. So I'm going to mention all of these people coming up, predicting them for next year. So this is the one and only time I'm going to mention it. But my whole appendix is about Frank and what could happen. Didn't see that coming, just completely pulling out. So yeah, I was kind of right though about the other guys. Anyway, bye. Controversially, if Fred again keeps on his trajectory, I could say that he could be an instant headliner. If he puts out another album and is like continues climbing, maybe it's too soon for him, but he's definitely on the trajectory because his live show is fantastic. You would want to see it at Coachella. He did play a couple years ago, so I am cheating a little bit, but I think he's become an instant headliner. Could be a headliner by this time next year category. Central C. Big, massive. But only really massive in America for a very few amount of songs. So if you look at his Chicken Shop date, it's like one of the most viewed ever, which says that he is a headliner. But in America, next to Paramore, Central C, not quite comparable, but could be a headliner this time next year. Steve Lacy, if he releases another good record, could be another headliner. I'm pausing because I said Ice Spice, probably not a headliner, probably a tier two. Ice Spice releasing bangers and bangers and bangers. I think a program has to think about who can I grab right now at this very moment in time that is culturally relevant and big and will define them at this point in time to be a headliner. Ice Spice could definitely be there. Lil Yachty, similar, released that album that was that people loved. It's the psychedelic album. Had Poland. It's definitely in that having a moment right now. It's like 25, 26 or something like that. So, you know, if you had in there Paramore, Ice Spice, Lil Yachty, these are kind of a given to an extent. Timbaland with all the features. Come on. Good festival so far. Kind of, yeah, but is it exciting? Is my next category. It's kind of like basically what I'm trying to say is like I would not be surprised to see any of these names on there. Is anyone dropping tons of cash to be like, hell yeah, I need to be there because of this? Not sure. You could argue with me. Arctic Monkeys. I'm just going to go through this list. Troye Sivan, Sam Smith, Lizzo, Skepta, Stormzy. Both of these two artists played in 2017. They have become less relevant now, but they're bigger than ever, if that makes sense. Meghan Trainor, Jenny Aiko played in 2014. Olivia Rodrigo, if she drops a big album this year. Lewis Capaldi was meant to be in 2020, but that got cancelled. Leve, Jake. Pop, all these people, pop, big time pop, like Sam Smith and Lizzo. Jenny Aiko, been around, very cool. Not going to like blow the house down, but I would love to see it. Arctic Monkeys, people want to see them at Coachella. I've been wondering when they're going to play. All these people are like, yeah, some of these names will be on there. We should do a little bingo night. Check them off when it gets announced. But is it like, ooh, Ice Spice and Lil Yachty? Not really. Unless Olivia Rodrigo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don't just take, give with the Instax Mini 12, an analog camera with a bubbly design which comes in a range of vibrant colors. It's got a selfie mirror, close-up mode, and automatic flash control. But the coolest thing about the Instax Mini 12? As soon as you take your pick, you can give someone an instant print. Fill your world with joy with the Instax Mini 12. Find out more at instaxus.com.
Go has another one of those albums this year. For instance, a given for 2024, that's a lot coming from me. So the bingo card is really going to be working hard for this next section. I'm just assuming it's going to happen. Daniel Caesar, album dropped this year. Don Toliver, more relevant than ever, album dropped this year. Drain Gang, Echo 2K, Blade. Has to happen. Had Young Lean this year. Blade is very relevant. Drain Gang, very relevant. Come On. Always. Very relevant. Highly regarded album from last year. Pink Panthers. Who knows where she'll be if she keeps going on this Ice Spice collaborative. Like, she's very relevant. So where she'll sit amongst those headliners, maybe the second tier if she has a good year this year, feels like a given. Dorian Electra, Mitski, Coi Leray having a very good year. Keshi feels like a given for 2024. Has been doing the rounds, doing a lot, bigger and bigger shows. Has been more of a sex icon of the recent year. And feels like a given. All right, let's whistle through the Derek section, which is the credible non-headliners. I'm just going to rattle off names that I think would not go astray. I would not be surprised to see them. I they are not, they are the smaller names, the ones that you're like, yep, cool, tick, I want to see that. If I'm weaving through and watching all the different stages, I'm definitely seeing a lot of these, but they're not the ones that people buy tickets over. Kalayla, Julia Jacqueline, Jockstrap, Shy Girl, M. Huncho, Thames, Jasmine Sullivan, Jotty, DJ, Charlotte DeWitt, DJ, Fontaine's DC, Tizo Touchdown, Machine Girl, Navy Blue, Amory, Black Country New Road, West Side Gun, Tennis, Alice Long Yu Gao, Livy, Cigarettes After Sex, Orion Sun, Brent Fires, Her, and Blast. That's a good list of 20 odd names. Some of those are going to be on there for sure. West Side Gun would be cool. You know, out of this list, I definitely want to see, well, a lot of them, all of them actually. And that would be my, you know, a really great festival on its own. That is a section that's like, you got to book these people that are big and cool, but they're playing at 5 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m. type thing. Julia Jacqueline would play at like a 4 p.m. type thing. She's cool. She's relatively well-sized, but she's not playing at 6 p.m. just yet. Here's some ones if they want to get a bit cheeky with it. This next section is called Curveballs. I've said that before, and it always sounds rude. The Curveball section. KSI. That's really like, it could go the wrong way. KSI being the YouTuber, the head of the snake of the Sidemen, the prime owner, prime energy drink with Jake Paul, the boxer, and rapper. And his albums have gotten more and more credible over time. They're not the most credible, but they've gotten more credible. So that's like, ooh, KSI is there. People would want to see it. Internet fans especially. It's not the most credible musically. Baby Metal. Maybe they missed their chance with Baby Metal. Japanese girl metal group would kind of be one of those acts you've got to see because it's a festival act and it's just like, you know, very kawaii, very just fun and metal and Japanese. Jack Black, I don't know why I put him in there. Jack Black would be a bit of a curveball. Maybe it's like on one of those weird stages at 6 p.m. and he's doing his thing. Feels less likely. Feels a bit old. All right. Foreign Contingent. They had success with, I know Rosalia is foreign, like for American audience, but like it also doesn't feel like it. They had success, huge success with Blackpink. They had huge success with Rosalia. This is the second last category. We've done well, guys. We've done well. We sped up a little bit. Otherwise, I could have gone through the credible non-headliners for a good 20 minutes talking about Jasmine Sullivan and Jotty and West Side Gun. Anyway, Foreign Contingent, they did well with Rosalia and Blackpink. How are they going to do well again without repeating themselves, right? By just doing another similar booking. In saying that, my first one is Daddy Yankee. I think Daddy Yankee, they tried to book in the past and he was like, the money, guys, is nowhere near what I would need. Sorry. So unless they pay bank, Daddy Yankee might never perform. Ozuna would be fun. I'd go see that. Adekunle Gold, I'd see that. Not headliner, but you know, middle to high. K-pop section. Le Sserafim is a cool choice because they're not Blackpink. They're energetic. They're dynamic. They are part of HYBE. They are a good, solid, wherever Jackson Wang played, you know, 6, 7 p.m. New Jeans, somewhat obvious. They're already playing a festival in America. I can't remember which one. But we'll see how their year goes. It's a bit obvious and it may be a bit too soon. Maybe you want them to do it like as a headliner in a few years' time. Twice. They've been playing America a lot. People would love to see it. Too close to Blackpink. So I'm going to strike them out, actually. I don't think that they'd book them. IU, from a Korean perspective, huge solo performer and actress, I think would be a curveball that would kind of blow away the K-pop audience. People would be like, oh my gosh, IU is playing at Coachella. Insane. Not quite rock and roll, not quite lively, not hugely festival. Be cool. Here's a cool one. Maria Takeuchi, Plastic Love. City Pop, City Pop, City Pop, City Pop, City Pop. Everyone's talking about City Pop. I see it in my TikTok feed all the time. I see it on YouTube all the time. Personally, I'm a bit tired of it because, I don't know, it's become a bit too faddish. Now people are starting to recreate it and it sounds bad. Now I'm getting too much into a rabbit hole. But I think as a booking, put Maria Takeuchi on there. Come on, people will be like, all right, curveball. We could see Cigarettes After Sex, which we could see anytime, or we could see Maria Takeuchi, which we'll never see again. Let's go there and just have a dance. Yoasobi, duo, Japanese, J-pop, fun, energetic. The best thing I've seen live in a while. Would do well. Sasami, Seiso Neon, Bombing Tiger, all alternative Asian, Korean. I don't know if they're all Korean, but alternative Asian acts that have are very credible in a lot of different scenes. Whether you're a Japanese Breakfast fan or you're a Stray Kids fan, you kind of know about some of these. Sasami, Seiso Neon, and Bombing Tiger. So the foreigners, the ones that sing in different languages, you know? Last but not least, the mainstream closing DJ. So this is a thing now, right? You have like Fisher, you have the Chemical Brothers, the one that plays, you have Calvin Harris, the one that plays after Blackpink to be like, yeah, we've had fun. This is the end of the night. It's one person. It's lots of LED screens. Let's just end it on a high note with some great memories. You know, I don't know if this person I'm going to say next is that, because they might be too not American enough. Black Coffee, I'd want at my festival to close at 11 p.m., 12 p.m., 1 a.m. 12 p.m.? 12 a.m. 12 p.m. with Black Coffee would be weird. But would be cool. And because of the adjacency to people like Drake, he definitely has more of a name. Don't know if he'd pull the audience though. Skrillex feels fairly obvious. Put out an album recently, putting out another album soon. Is very bro step, has all the big hits, whether you want heavy, whether you want light, if you want weird, you know. These two, I'm going to mention this as next. Fortet played in 2019, but is much bigger now. These two are part of the terrible trio. I don't know why I said terrible. It sounds like I'm being mean. The trio of Fred Again, Skrillex, and Fortet, they're having their moment. So there's a halo effect around that. So Fortet, I feel like, wouldn't close the main stage too headsy for a American audience unless Skrillex and Fred Again did that. They could do it. They could call themselves something. Terrible threesome. I don't know. Fatboy Slim makes a lot of sense. Is playing Glastonbury, so is less original now, but would work. Marshmello, last played in 2017, and Martin Garrix playing in 2017. Both of these are not my style, but American audiences would love them. A massive, you could see their name. You know, we're closing the set. It's Martin Garrix. Everyone have a good time. EDM vibes, but not too small. You know, they're big. Big, big, big. They're like 10, 20 million followers type vibe. And there we are. G-Cella. What do you think? Who have I missed? Hopefully you enjoyed this little thought exercise, a bit of an unpacking of the thinking behind how it might be programmed. And let's see. I am going to be really excited if I remember to look back at this in almost a year's time to see just how many I got right, got wrong. I did take a lot of time to look at all the artists out there and who might be available within my worldview of knowing as many artists as I possibly can. Obviously, I didn't put every artist I know down there, but the ones that I think could be relevant, could make it next year. Thank you for listening. The appendix. Let's keep it simple, because I might note that this is being recorded before the second weekend. So I don't know what happened with Frank Ocean in weekend two, and maybe it all turned around. So I am commenting purely off weekend one, where there was a lot of, I just want to have extended thoughts on it because, hey, it's the appendix. So if you don't know about what this is, basically Frank Ocean was the headliner. He hasn't performed in like 5-6 years or whatever. And it was a moment because he's been disappeared for a while. His brother passed away. And so he has obviously been dealing with that. And there was a huge amount of anticipation to the point where people were traveling from all around the world to go see him. And I made a joke when it was announced that he was a headliner. I put up an Instagram story that said, you know, here are his term sheet for the contract. And I crossed it all out. It was like live stream crossed out. Interviews crossed out, like all this stuff, because I'm like, it's Frank Ocean, he's not going to do any of this stuff. Anyway, leading up, I was excited. He was on the list for live streaming. I'm like, I've put away the time to actually watch this guy play. I'm excited. And then people started messaging me, he's not playing, the live stream is not happening, he's being pulled off, something's happening. And I'm like, man, that sucks. Am I mad at him as a person? No. I'm not surprised. It's Frank Ocean, man. But I was like, man, I would have loved to have seen that. Never mind. Anyway, the reports were there. Either people loved it because it was intimate. He talked about that he used to go to Coachella with his brother and this was for him. The other side of it was like, there was meant to be an ice rink where there were ice skaters. That got pulled at the last second. He came out late, an hour late. He had to stop early because of curfew, noise restrictions. There were songs that were playing and he was just like, not lip syncing. He was like, you know, there are parts of the songs from Blonde where it's like pitched up and in his vocal, and he didn't sing those. He just let that part of the song play and he was like singing along with the audience. All this wrapped up in the soup of like, we've been waiting, we've been traveling to see you. This is what you do. Screw Frank Ocean. So it's been really interesting to see like, people either like fall out of love with Frank Ocean, defend Frank Ocean, speculate on the gig that they didn't go to, annoyed at him for canceling the live stream, annoyed at him for not saying anything to the public, annoyed at him for not taking ownership, all this sort of stuff. My opinion, which I put out, you know, I put out a TikTok the morning after because people wanted my opinion on it. I'm like, sure, I've got an opinion on it. And to summarize, because you can look it up, I'll put it in the show notes, was saying, I had a very personal reaction to it, which is that I stopped talking about Frank Ocean on my TikTok because I realized it was just like annoying content that people make all the time, speculating about what Frank Ocean is going to do next to get views. I wasn't trying to do that, but I realized that people were interested in that. And I found it kind of, if you looked at my newsletter from the end of last year, I was like, I kind of said, if you're still just talking about Frank Ocean, you know, what's wrong with you? He hasn't done anything. Just get over it and move on. And when he puts something out, then enjoy. So I think that the frustration on the internet, especially, and people that traveled and were really angry, set their expectations way too high. And then were disappointed because everyone is kind of believing in this lore of Frank Ocean. And he's just a guy that put out some music and doesn't do much else. And now you've propelled into this place where he's like, what do you expect him to be like? Rosalia with all these dancers. You expect him to be like Beyonce with like a marching band. Like if you go to a Frank Ocean concert, it's like if I went to a Erykah Badu concert, I'd expect cool songs and that's about it. Like it's not a fanfare. Who knows? I'm saying this not knowing what's happening in weekend two, and maybe I might have to record an update if it's dramatically. It's not going to be any worse, put it that way. Probably be a lot smoother and people know what to expect. But I think that what I think is the most funny personally is that, have you heard his music? Like Blonde, I explained it as impressionist. I'm sure other people do too. It took me a while to vibe with it because it's not like Thinking About You from Nostalgia Ultra. It's not like Crack Rock from Channel Orange. It's not structured in this kind of way. It's meandering, it's slow, it's thoughtful, it's looping, it's more of like a storybook. And to kind of expect that you're going to have fireworks and it's going to be Blackpink and it's going to be anything more epic than just a guy at a piano and a few bands and some cameras trying to display something cinematic, I think you've kind of got the wrong artist. Don't expect it to be a headliner like, you know, where he sings solo on Nikes and there's like fireworks or anything like that. You mad, man. You mad. So that's my final thoughts on the Frank Ocean saga. I'll be intrigued to see if anything changes between me recording this and when it comes out. But that has been Coachella. I like sometimes, like the Harry Styles one I made, making stuff, kind of shoving in episodes that I wasn't planning on making because I had an idea for it, because that's also fun. Yeah. This has been Derek G6 Volumes. This is the longest one yet. Gold. I need a drink of water. On that note, I'll see you next week. Bye, friends.